The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Okay, I'm here. Yes, it's a Monday. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at 5 at NicoleSandler.com, on the Progressive Voices Network, on Facebook Live, on Periscope, and still no YouTube. I'm still blocked from streaming live, though I am able to upload the shows after the fact. I just can't stream live. So I'm trying to remember to do that. We got a great show for you today. And as I think you know, I'm doing these Monday music programs. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, and you know, because you've been listening, they're so much fun. And I'm enjoying them immensely. But I'd be lying if I said they weren't, you know, they were stress-free, because every time it happens, I'm at the mercy of the interwebs. And although technology has exploded in the last 20 years, and we're able to do these things via the internet, the sound quality, when an artist performs live for us and it's coming down the intertubes through Zoom and then through my equipment, and we're at the mercy of the interwebs on both sides, the sound quality has not been flawless. Come on, we know that. Now that I finally got my end figured out, I think I did anyway, hopefully the audio is good and we're streaming and there's no problems, I knew we had to do something differently, so we did. And what I'm going to do now is work with the artist so that we pre-tape the Monday Music Sunset Sessions and have them send me their clean audio from their end so I can mix it all together here and we will have no such sound problems. And we begin that today. I'm so excited for you to hear today's session because it is so good. We taped it on Saturday. I spent yesterday putting it together and I'm so happy with it. I'm happy with how it sounds and how it looks, but I'm thrilled that Judith Owen is our guest. And if you're not familiar with Judith Owen, you will be after today. So I encourage you to stick around. And I warn you, Progressive Voices listeners, especially, that today's show is going to run long because I still like to take care of, you know, business as usual at the beginning of the show. So we'll get to some news and information and, you know, the usual snark. And then we'll hit the Monday music session segment, and it will keep running after we reach the end of the show at 6 o'clock Eastern on Progressive Voices. So you can always come over to NicoleSandler.com, click on the Listen Live page. There are links there to find the Facebook Live link, which you can get at Facebook.com/TheNicoleSandlerShow. Just click on live video, or N Sandler, which is my personal page, or on Periscope. If you follow me on Twitter, I just tweeted out the link there. I also posted the link on in the chat room at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live. So there's lots of different ways. You can also just listen to my stream at NicoleSandlerStream.com. It'll just bring up the stream and bypass the website and all that stuff. So the songs that Judith Owen performs for us today are all brand new. And she's got this new EP that she just released digitally for everyone for free. So the music you'll hear today, most of it anyway, is available for free. I'll give you all the information on the website, or go to judithowen.net and you'll be able to get it there. But it's called The Here and Now because she wrote about what is going on with our lives right now. And we're all living through this crazy, insane time in history together. And I promise you, you listen to Judith Owen and the songs that she performs today, and you will be happy. I almost feel like I don't need to start with a funny because Judith incorporates the funny, but I will anyway because it's our thing, right? So let's get to it. With no further ado, a bit of the funny from our friend of the show, Lauren Mayer. And, well, I think you know the five things that she's singing about here. Take it away, Lauren Mayer.
Hello, boys and girls. Here's a way to remember some very important words. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, stable genius. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, hydroxychloroquine. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, covfefe. This great accomplishment proves you're as smart as the president. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, anonymous. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, hamburgers. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, totalitarianism. Get all these words correct, then you can boast about your intellect. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, smoking gun. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, global whamming. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, oranges of the investigation. Claim you've got the best words, then you can make statements that are for the birds. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, suburban housewives. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, Ghislaine Maxwell. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, it is what it is. With more statements like that, you could make your own campaign go splat.
Yeah. Oh, man. Lauren Mayer, she's just so funny. And I apologize in advance, because tonight, when you're tossing and turning in bed and you can't fall back asleep, you're going to be hearing person, woman, man, camera, TV, da-da-da-da-da in your head. So, again, I apologize for that. But, hey, share it, because it's a catchy tune. Again, coming up with Judith Owen in just a little while. More subtly funny songs. In fact, she's got one called Karen, which is not really what you think it's going to. It's going to surprise you. It's all going to surprise you. And and one called Morally Delinquent. And I'll leave it at that. I want you to stay tuned, because it's really, really good. All right. I guess we should get to the news. Huh? Because there's news. So, all right. Well, let's do it.
I read the news today.
Oh, boy. Hi. Well, you know, I'm in Florida. So, greetings from the new global epicenter of the pandemic. I'm so proud. Florida recorded 9,300 new coronavirus cases yesterday, and we've now surpassed New York as the state with the second most infections. Yeah, yay us. Florida now has 423,855 confirmed cases, second only to California, which had 448,497 as of yesterday afternoon. New York is in third place now with 415,827. Aren't we proud? Yeah, Florida has added more than 10,000 cases a day for the last, I believe, 5 days. It's just insane. And, well, right now, apparently the Republicans have finally introduced their new COVID relief bill. They were supposed to put it out on Thursday, but they didn't because of some disagreements between the Senate Republicans and the White House. Go figure. Donald Trump was insisting on a payroll tax cut, because that's how you help all the millions and millions of people who are unemployed right now, with a payroll tax cut, right? Because he's a stable genius. Well, he lost that argument, by the way, in case you were wondering. So today, just a short while ago, the Senate Republicans introduced their bill. And what I know of it so far is that it will include another round of $1,200 stimulus checks. They have the now abandoned call for a payroll tax cut. Larry Kudlow, just the fact that he's in the White House is as reprehensible to me as the fact that Donald Trump is there, but I digress. Larry Kudlow said that in addition to the checks, the legislation would extend but reduce the extra unemployment benefits that have been paid for the last few months anyway, that expire this Friday at the end of the month. So, you know, it's a $600 unemployment benefit, which, yeah, I'm sorry. In Florida, if you're lucky enough to get through to file the unemployment paperwork, the maximum unemployment benefit in the state of Florida is $275 a week. $275 a week. I'm not kidding. So the extra $600 helps people, you know, keep their kids fed, keep a roof over their heads, things like that. Well, Republicans want to lower that in this new bill to $200. Democrats want to keep the $600 benefit in place through January. Obviously, I think it's going to need to go on longer than through January, but hey, it's a start. So the Republican bill is expected to cost $1 trillion. The House, under Democratic control, approved a $3 trillion proposal in May, the HEROES Act, which the Republicans, Mitch McConnell and his obstructionists in the Senate, have not even looked at, let alone brought up for debate. The Democrats' plan includes new stimulus checks, more money for coronavirus testing and contract tracing. As I said, the renewal of the $600 a week and extra unemployment benefits, and money for state and local governments who are all hurting horribly. The Republican plan has no money for state and local government. And the Democrats' education money is four times what the Republicans are offering. Now, Republicans want kids to go back to school, but they're not giving schools the money to do the necessary infrastructure improvements necessary to allow kids back in the schools. It's amazing. And until today, there was no contact between the administration and Democrats since Friday. And of course, they were off on Friday, you know, they left after Thursday because that's the way they roll. In other news, the Trump administration's deployment of unidentified militarized federal law enforcement agents to put down protests in Portland, Oregon, and a few other cities has re-energized the protests against police brutality and racial injustice. Over the weekend, police and protesters clashed in cities from Los Angeles to Richmond as demonstrators expressed anger over arrests made by these people that were told are federal agents around the Portland federal courthouse. In Portland, last night, a crowd of 1,000 gathered for the 60th straight night of protests in the city since the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis police custody. But it's not only in Portland. In Seattle, at least 47 protesters were arrested on Saturday night. The Department of Homeland Security has said a response team from U.S. Customs and Border Protection will be sent to the city to remain on standby to help protect federal facilities. Customs and Border Protection, I'm sorry, I don't believe they have any jurisdiction in Seattle, Washington, because as far as I can tell, there's no border with another country in Seattle, Washington. Come on, some federal judge out there. Stop this madness. There were protests all over this weekend in Aurora, Colorado, Oakland, California, Louisville, Kentucky, and other locations. There were shootings in some of those cities. And in Austin, Texas, a man was killed on Saturday after shots were fired into a crowd of protesters. Thankfully, a suspect is in custody. But the fact that this is going on should make everyone very uncomfortable. And that's putting it really lightly. Again, I'm waiting for some federal judge to say, this is not legal. This is not constitutional. These thugs wearing combat gear with no identification, either of them personally, like a name or a badge number, and no identification of what agency they allegedly work for, makes me believe that these people wearing combat fatigues and carrying long guns are snatching people off the streets of American cities. To me, that's kidnapping. That's not an arrest. I didn't see an arrest warrant. I don't see probable cause. Again, nothing I can do because I'm not a judge, but there are federal judges out there, and I'm still waiting for one of them to do something. All right. There's other news. I'm trying to think what I need to go through. Of course, the body of John Lewis yesterday crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama for one final time. It's where he and hundreds of other civil rights protesters were stopped and beaten by state and local police in March of 1965. Of that experience, Lewis said, I gave a little blood on that bridge. I thought I was going to die. So yesterday's memorial event, which organizers called the Final Crossing, was part of a multi-day celebration of John Lewis's life. Bloody Sunday, of course, helped to galvanize support for the Civil Rights Act and became a central part of Lewis's legacy. Today, John Lewis's body is lying in state at the Capitol. And, well, you know what? I'm not going to play it for you. But the orange idiot did chopper talk today, you know, or he's on his way somewhere to spew bullshit about something. And with the rotors whirring and making a racket, he stands out and lets the press shout questions at him. And somebody said, are you going to go pay your respects to John Lewis today or tomorrow at the Capitol? And he said, no. I won't be going, no, because he is a piece of shit. Hey, Donald Trump, I got a little song for ya. It's Monday music, you know, I had to get something in. And meanwhile, back to COVID for a moment, Robert O'Brien, who is Trump's latest national security advisor, has tested positive for COVID-19. Making him the highest profile Trump official to get it. They're telling us it's unclear how O'Brien was exposed to the virus or how much in-person contact he's had recently with Trump. To my mind, however much there's been, it hasn't been enough. Somebody give that man the COVID, because if anyone deserves it, it's him. All right, let me just look and see if there's anything else urgent that I need to inform you of. The big breaking news today was the national security advisor coming down with COVID. There's other stuff. You can always get it at NicoleSandler.com/what's-news. Or, you know, I tweet it out and I post it on Facebook every morning, my morning news roundup. I'll also be guest hosting the Bradcast this evening at bradblog.com. It airs on the Progressive Voices Network at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, but you can get it hopefully by that same time at bradblog.com. And I go more in depth into the news. And we also talk about something that happened 3 years ago tonight. I'm pausing to give you a second to try to remember what happened 3 years ago tonight. I'll give a hint to anybody watching on video. I just put my thumb down. It was 3 years ago tonight that John McCain, of all people, saved the day. He was the third Republican no vote after Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins to the that last effort to throw out what's left of the Affordable Care Act. So we'll deal with that subject as well on the Bradcast tonight. All right. I'm very excited about today's Monday music segment. And I told you already it's going to run long. Even if we start it now, it's going to run long. But I promise you it's worth it. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick time out, take care of some business for the Progressive Voices Network, and come back with a Monday music sunset session with the wonderful, wonderful Judith Owen. Don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler. It's NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. Okay, Progressive Voices is in commercials. Let's get some Jim Hightower for just a couple of minutes, and we'll come back with Monday music. And please stick around. I promise you, even the most political of you will love today's Monday music segment. I promise you. If not, I'll give you a refund. I'll refund your price of admission today. Okay? Okay. Take it away, Jim Hightower.
As directed by their big business funders, top Republican office holders across the country had been defying public health experts in past weeks to rush America's workers back into their jobs. But oops, the microscopic COVID-19 turns out to be smarter and stronger than Trump and all the money-grubbing CEOs combined. So their impetuous back-to-work commands have backfired, causing the crisis to surge again, killing thousands more Americans. What to do now? Why, of course, get Congress to protect them. Not protect workers and customers, but protect corporate profits. Thus, the White House, such congressional sleazes as Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell and the whole army of Gucci-wearing corporate lobbyists are pushing furiously to pass a law decreeing that corporations cannot be held liable for profit-driven actions and negligence that sicken and kill untold numbers of Americans. Crying crocodile tears for those giants, Trump's corporate-hugging economic advisor wailed, "You've got to give business some confidence here that if something happens, you can't take them out of business. You can't throw big lawsuits at them." Gosh, thanks for your little moral lecture, but what about giving workers, their families, and society in general some confidence that if something happens, you can't take away people's basic human right to pursue justice? Besides, why shouldn't we the people hold these economic powerhouses legally accountable? By preemptively giving a blanket pardon to corporate entities for causing deadly harm, you'll give direct financial incentive to their executives to forego investing in protective measures for workers and public health. Indeed, the very fact they're insisting on a law to shield them is an admission that they know the rush to restart their profit machine will sicken and kill others. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's not just greedy, it's inhumane.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
These are the sounds of crushed souls, the sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the Internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio, and you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
And now, back to Nicole on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com. We could all use some healing these days, so we turn to the power of music. Each Monday, we welcome another artist to share some songs and stories as the Nicole Sandler Show presents the Monday Music Sunset Sessions.
I'm so excited for today's guest because it's somebody that I've known, met about 25 years ago. We first met at a singer-songwriter showcase at the Troubadour in Los Angeles. I was emceeing, I believe, and Judith Owen was one of the performers, and here we are 25 years later, still kicking. Worse for wear, either one,
no
I think.
No worse for wear, but if it's possible, the world has got stranger. You know, at the time, I was sort of like, things are strange, aren't they? I mean, they always are, but it's sort of like, we're really in strange times now. But yes, you look exactly the same. I'd like to say I look exactly the same.
You do?
Yes.
Except
yes,
for the hair color, because you were blonde back then.
Well, I was a blonde back then. I don't know what the hell I was thinking because I'm a red.
And it's beautiful.
But I was signed to Capitol, and I think I felt like, why did I think I needed to be blonde? I don't even know why I even thought that was a good idea. I was bored with myself, Nicole. I was bored.
Well, that happens. And the other thing is, and Judith Owen, you've been doing your own thing for all these years and making amazing music. And one thing I didn't know when we met was who your husband was, who I had already known because I'd met Harry Shearer back before then when I worked at KLOS with Mark and Brian. What a small world it is. And you guys have one of the longest lasting, happiest marriages in all of entertainment. So congratulations.
Isn't it strange? I mean, they said it wouldn't last, but yeah, I know. It's the craziest thing. And I must say it was we've tried very much, and we tried at that time very much to not. I never led with that, you know, who I was married to, because of course you're always going down that horrible. That horrible rabbit hole of, oh gosh, she's married, you know, therefore she's got no talent. I mean, I'm sorry, but that is what people think. So I would keep strum about all of this. I never really spoke about it. But then after a while, of course, people, once you know me, you know my music, you know what I do. I am the proudest partner of my husband, as you know. So it's incredible. Do.
And you guys have done some wonderful collaborations as well. And we'll talk, and you each both released new music last week, both on the same day. In fact, on Friday, I premiered, for my show anyway, Harry's new video, which was just brilliant, Son-in-Law, and he's got a whole new album coming out. And you released this new EP that you've been working on, and you're going to play a few songs from that for us today. You sent it to me the other night, and I got to tell you, I sat here in my studio, and I played it, and I listened one song after another, and I was just blown away, Judith. It is so good. So tell us about the here and now before you launch into a song.
Well, you know, I was on tour in Australia. Harry and I were both out there. I was doing the Port Ferry Festival, and also, may I just say that I did my own show at the Sydney Opera House. Clunk, there goes the name. But I'm just so proud that I actually finally got to play there. And we love Australia, and we only just made it in and out before things got really, really serious with COVID. And when I came back to LA, lockdown, and also my dog started to fail and started to get ill. And so it became 4 months of being, and I found this with a lot of my friends, a lot of creative people, a lot of writers, a lot of artists, the creativity just went into high gear. You know, it went straight to fifth gear sort of thing, because there's so much to write about. There's so much to express. There's so much worry, fear, anxiety, strangeness. The kind of shit you can't believe is happening every single day. There is everything going on, and at the same time, here I am with my, you know, nursing my dog, and between those two things, it actually kept me sane. That is what has kept me sane this whole time. And so the here and now really is about what I saw around me the whole time, whether it be Karens or Black Lives Matter, or I can't even say his name, but Mr. T, and that whole thing, and the extraordinary breakdown in society, the lies, the denial, the chaos, the division, everything that I saw around me, and at the same time, beauty too, like the amazing balcony singers in Italy that I wrote about, Italy Unbroken, and then of course about nursing and losing and loving that creature that has kept me, I'm going to be honest, quite really kept me sane for a very long time, as much as music does. And any animal lover, any dog lover understands exactly what I'm talking about. It's like one of the greatest losses, I believe, that you can go through.
Yes, it is. It is like the loss of a child. I've been there.
Yes, it is.
I when I heard about your loss, I my heart broke for you guys, and I understand fully.
And that's coming from a mom. You see, this is what I like to hear, because I sometimes think, am I just this pathetic childless woman who thinks that losing my dog is tantamount to losing a child? But the truth is,
it is.
Women with children feel the same way. It's a child.
Yes.
It's your child.
Yeah. I got my guy Jackson here. And I don't know if you remember Sandy, but back when I was in LA, Sandy was my sidekick. She used to come into the radio station with me. And when she died.
I do.
It destroyed me. It just destroyed me. And, you know, it's part of life, but it's the hardest thing. So I'm so sorry for your loss.
And like I said, it was in a weird, weird way. You know, I've been talking about, I do these shows twice a week.
Yes.
These Facebook Live shows. And that's what has really kept me sane. And by the way, these songs, this EP, Here and Now, which, by the way, are duets with myself and another friendo show, the phenomenal Leland Sklar. These were all done for this Facebook show that I do. And that kept me sane. It is keeping me sane every single week, because I don't go a couple of days without knowing that I've got to get my shit together and I've got to get ready for the next show, because it's like a variety show and I'm talking about all sorts of stuff in life, but I'm writing music for it every week, or doing covers, or doing my version of things. So it keeps me busy. And for somebody who already has bad brain chemistry, you know, this is a vital thing. I think we all have bad brain chemistry right now.
In our own way.
But ultimately, yeah, that's really where all of this came from. And, but I must say, I tried to sing one of the song that I did for my dog, St. Christopher Eye, and I couldn't actually get through it. So I'm really glad I'm not. I'm really glad when you didn't mention you wouldn't want me to sing that today, because I couldn't even get through the first verse. It was just terrible.
Well, there are six songs on this EP, which again, you officially released on Friday, and you made this available to everyone. So if people go to judithowen.net, and you click on, I guess, news, you'll see the here and now. And you read and you say, you've released it all digitally for anybody.
I mean, at this point, I mean, I really don't think that, I think everybody is downloading on, you know, Spotify and everything else. I mean, it's meaningless at this point. But the reason I did these songs was to, the reason I do the show, the reason I do everything, the reason I do music, as you know, Nicole, is because I need to connect with other human beings, because ultimately that's what music means to me. I was a lonely, sad child. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's just like, I'm not a terrible victim or anything, but I had sadness in my life. I had a bad brain. I had family with bad brain chemistry. Music meant expression, but it was one of the few ways that I could connect with other human beings by being as honest and real and authentic in a way that I could never be with words. And that's, I think, with a lot of musicians, is that that's the only way that they really can communicate. And so for me, this is a gift to my fans and my friends and people who've supported me and are going through this and are scared, and that come on every week, twice a week. They do not miss it. And, you know, I have this core audience, and then it reaches out to thousands of people afterwards. And those same people, it's like a little moment that they wait for, because we're this small, this community of people who need these moments, need these things that give you structure, that give you something that you know you will be doing at a time when people don't have that. We have a schedule or a structure or a thing that we're going to, and that gives us those things that human beings need. So I just feel very fortunate, because this is what I've always done. This is what I always do. This is the reason I do it. So I feel like I'm very well armed and have the tools to deal with what we're going through right now.
Absolutely. And as screwed up as this year has been, thank goodness we have the technology to do this, because, you know, you and so many other artists are using this time to connect in a very personal way over the internet. Who knew? And thank goodness. So you do this show on Facebook Live, Wednesday and Sunday, is it?
Wednesday and Sunday. It's called FFS. Am I allowed to swear?
You absolutely are.
Because it's called For Fuck's Sake. Because ultimately, I say that line a lot. I swear a lot. I'm British. Therefore, I was swearing when I popped out. You know, I literally was probably swearing as I'm screaming.
I'm American and I do it too. So,
there you go.
There's no boundaries.
Mine just sounds like I could break glass with it. But ultimately, I love swearing. But everything makes me pretty much say, for fuck's sake. I'm in shock all the time. But this is twice weekly. It's on at 2 p.m. West Coast, so that would be 5 your time,
right?
I believe, which is when I'm on.
So you know, it's always available after
Wednesday, Sundays. There you have it. And you know, the incredible thing is that if it hadn't been, I talk about silver linings all the time. That's what I'm not talking about, comparisons with Black Death, like I did last week. I actually managed, I think, to find humor, but to say everything to me in life is about being incredibly serious and incredibly funny, and being able to put those two things together.
And you do. Oh my goodness. Perfect lead in to the first song you're going to do for us. Because like I said, you sent me the link on just the other day when we spoke, and I sat there that night and listened, and every song grabbed me, but this one you're going to do first really got me, because it works on multiple levels. That's all I want to say before you do it. We can talk about it afterwards, but the song is called Karen. And
it's
so
cool,
people
Karen.
It's everything you just said. It's depending on what ear you're listening to it with. It's either very funny or it's tragic. And it's,
it's true.
Into
honestly,
one.
It's both.
It is both.
It's funny and it's so tragic, because there's there's bad behavior, but there's also, there's entertainment factor, but there's also mental illness.
Yes.
Here.
Oh, without a doubt. And I picked up on that immediately. And I listened again and again, and I called my daughter and I said, you got to hear this song. She's like, Mom, that's a meme. I said, okay, yeah.
It's a meme. And then, of course, and we'll talk about the video afterwards.
Yes.
That this fan did.
Great.
That's a killer. But
okay.
Let me just prepare, you know, that this is... Karen wants to scream. Karen wants to shout. Karen wants to tell us all. What Karen's all about. Karen's very white. Karen's always right. And Karen likes to fight with every cop who asks her why she isn't driving on the right. A cheerleading squad. Since then she feels so robbed of everything. 'Cause she never planned to be this age and still so angry. Karen, there's something very wrong. So wrong. On the brink. She's sobbing in the sink. She just broke her last good nail. Life has failed her, don't you think? And she's screaming in her car. She's taking things too far. Why does no one understand? She used to be the life and soul of every college party. Get away. A little mood swing, she could run rings around you. That's what she'd say. Did nobody tell you no, Karen? Was it a family show, Karen? There's something very wrong. so wrong. Especially if you're black. She tells us that we're full of crap for telling her, Karen, there's something very wrong.
Karen from The Here and the Now, Judith Owen. Brilliant. It's just brilliant. And again, works on so many different levels. It's my heart breaks for this woman. And yet, because in some ways I identify with her because I have those mental issues as well. And,
yeah. I mean, you know,
even when I said to my kid that I thought, you know, that I recognized the tragedy there. And she's like, maybe that's just because it hits too close to home for you.
Well, I think it hits close to home for any woman. It's interesting because when I played that on For Fuck's Sake for the first time, a friend of mine, a really wonderful actress, beautiful woman, she basically sent me this message immediately, a text saying, oh, my God, I know, I understand. Uh-huh. Who hasn't felt this? And the truth is, for most women who know how it feels monthly, how to be on the edge of sanity,
mm-hmm.
hormonally, I think women understand that there are times when they feel like they, you know, literally they have lost their mind. They are on the edge of insanity. We all know this feeling.
Oh, yeah.
But when you see the Karens, what you're seeing is that times, you know, it's that on speed, it's
yes.
times 1,000, and you realize that, and so this amazing fan put together a compilation, an amazing film that he put together to that song, and I would just ask everybody just to go and see this.
Where is it? It
will be on my site along with this.
Okay.
It's extraordinary. And ultimately, I kept his name anonymous, etc., because, of course, Karens are also incredibly terrifying people who might come and track you down. But what it shows, particularly to this song, I mean, it's just the worst behavior, of course, that we've all seen. When you see it to this song, it is both shocking and and at the same time, it's really, really clear that these are women who are not just on the verge of nervous breakdown. They're having a nervous breakdown.
That's right.
And they're mentally ill and they're probably self-medicating with booze and they're not on the right meds. And I can just keep going. And there's a level of entitlement with certain of these idiots who are sort of like questioning, you know, the black cop as to what are they doing parking in their car park when he lives there, that kind of thing. You know, that's just craziness. But again, it's on the edge of having lost your sanity. And mm-hmm. I do think women can understand this.
Men don't get it, definitely.
In the same way.
It is
hormonally,
just...
we all get this one.
We do.
And it's heartbreaking. But it's still not justifiable. You know, there's a lot of times that I have been horrific in my sense of, I'm absolutely justified in the way that I'm behaving. And then, you know, cut to 2 days later, I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so
mortified by what you did.
Mortified.
I'm so there with you. I get it. I totally get it. And I know at least many
women. Because you
feel
justified in your behavior and your choices.
Right.
And then when you get a little bit of time and your hormones are balanced again, you're like, oh, my God.
What did I do?
We used to have a thing, Harry and I used, I found this magnet, especially when I was really, you know, because I've had clinical depression my whole life, which now I manage, thank God, and life has been so incredible because of that. But I used to have this, a little, you know, like one of those, the cone that you get in, the orange cone.
Yeah.
And it was a magnet with a cone, with a sign, with a thing through it, just to say, you know, danger, cones ahead. I was like, put it. So the idea was, put that on the fridge when you know it's a bad time coming. Because I could never remember. And it was too late when I did, because by then it was like, I felt so justified in everything I did. So I do believe, you see, that I don't write from the point of view of... I write from the point of view of a certain level of empathy, because that's who I am. I'm a damaged person. I'm a very flawed human being who writes about the struggles that we all go through. And I find it very, very hard to write from a point of view of just extreme hatred, and of non-compassion, because that's not who I am. I have to know, part of me has to understand it before I can sing about it, because I'm not a, you know, I'm not throwing, you know, I'm not throwing rocks at glass houses. That's not what I do. I think we're all, me first. I count myself as being the flawed one first, and I think that's the same with humor, the same with anything. If you can't see the funny thing in yourself, you can't see those flaws in yourself that are laughable, then you have no right to be pointing that at somebody else.
I hear you. So then let me ask you about the next song. If this is the next one you're going to do, there's another song on the Here and Now EP called Morally Delinquent.
About hatred.
and so, but that, I mean, I guess there's compassion in there, but there are some people you just have sheer disdain for. There are some people who deserve the worst of what we can give, because we get the worst of what they are on a daily basis.
Well, in this particular song, which is about our great emperor, leader, as I call him, Emperor Thrump, I am such a big fan of this Mary, Mary Trump,
she's,
the niece book.
Oh my God, she's brilliant.
She's fucking brilliant. And every time I've seen her interviews, on TV, I love that she is absolutely she is as she writes. She's you know, she's calm and thoughtful, and she's not doing this in out of any. She's not doing the way he would, just to be spiteful and vindictive and get her own back.
Right.
She's doing it because what hurt her family in a familial way now is actually hurting an entire country and millions of people. Millions of people are suffering. And the reason why I can sing this song is because having, prior to reading the book, having studied at large, because I want to know where this stuff comes from. You know, it's not justifiable again, but I know, and I had a feeling, and I felt so vindicated when I read her book, that everything that he is, there's no plan, there's no great scheme, there's no, anything except the ability to create chaos and division, because that's what he was taught at home. He was taught by, and this really is a study in having those kind of fathers. Joe Kennedy was one like that. I think Brian Wilson's dad was that. We know that
Michael Jackson's dad was like that.
Michael Jackson, same thing. When you have killers for fathers, you learn very quickly that you're either killed or you learn to kill and be respected.
Right.
But you can't have any gentleness or kindness, because when you do, then you end up like Mary Trump's father, becoming an alcoholic and dead at early 40s,
right?
Because you're crushed. And this is what we're looking at. So to me, it's fine that I can actually look at this man and go, look what he's doing.
Yes.
All he knows to do is what he learned from first his father, and then, you know, truly one of the most evil people to walk the earth, which is Roy Cohn. And he's got a hard on for powerful men, dictators, because that's what his dad taught him. And here we all are suffering because he hasn't got a clue how to do the job he has been given, because all he knows to do is to create chaos and divide the country, because then he's the only one who knows what's going on.
Exactly.
And that's what he was taught. And there's not a lot going on up here. And I'm glad he thinks it's wonderful and means a lot, the fact that he aced a test that just proves whether you have dementia or not.
TV.
That's all that was. Yeah. That was a do you have dementia test. He aced it. Thank God. That's great. So I think the point of this song and the reason why I wrote it, and it's very much about what I'm seeing right now, is because to be morally delinquent, which is what he is all he needs. And that's what his father taught him. Mm-hmm. That's what he was taught is... You don't have to have a conscience. You don't have to. The more morally delinquent you are, the further ahead you can get in life. You don't have to have empathy. You don't have to have compassion. You don't have to care about other people living decently and having and being taken care of. You don't have any of that. And it felt to me like it really is a song about where he got it from and how those kind of men are in every position of power. They're in every board, in every boardroom. They're the ones that the statues are.
Yes,
many of the
exactly.
time. Those are the statues that we're tearing down. These are those kind of people. That's what I'm saying. I got myself worked up for this one, Nicole, and this is Morally Delinquent. Let me tell you all a story about a man who didn't care what he did for power and glory. Conscience never held him back. He was always on attack. And so he built himself a kingdom on the backs of other men. If they shouted, he'd shout louder. Taught his sons to act the way he did, not to kid themselves if all they had up there were lovely, a shit for brains, lovely, a shit for brains, oh, a shit for brains. He told them, if you're morally delinquent, then we'll make us all pay. You want what you need just to make them believe. Well, make it big when you lie, make it a word from the wise. Choose your side, never based on real faith, buddy boy. Keep your eyes on the prize. This is all about you. And the moral of this story about the man who didn't care is that he sits in every boardroom. His statue's in the square, 'cause empathy's for losers. Tell them what they want to hear. If it's money, if it's Jesus, you just want natural selection. Who needs introspection when all you've got upstairs are lovely, a shit for brains, lovely, a shit for brains, those lovely shit for brains. He told them, if you're morally delinquent, then you'll make us all pay. Oh. Say what you want, what you need, just to make them believe. Well, make it big when you lie, make it a word from the wise. Choose your side, never based on real faith, bully boy. Keep your eyes on the prize, bully boy. Bully boy, this is all about you.
Wonderful. Morally delinquent. Shit for brains. Judith Owen from her new EP. I love it. The Here and Now. It's just so good. Do you crack yourself up when you write stuff like this? I mean, look, you're married to Harry Shearer, so obviously you guys must crack each other up regularly. And you've collaborated on a number of projects, most notably your Christmas show every year. So
is it a thing where you constantly try to make each other laugh, or you just do it naturally?
I think the greatest pleasure that we have is when he or I write songs. You know, the latest thing that we did together was the incredible Smalls Change record, and where I got to be these ghastly female singers with him, whether it's an opera singer or kind of like a Shirley Bassey big singer. And the thing that I think we enjoy sharing with each other the most is when we've written a line, when we've written a lyric that really has got the greatest double, triple, quadruple meaning, mm-hmm. twist, bite, when it says everything that you're trying to say and that we all try so hard to get instinctively into something small and easy. But when you get that, it makes you feel so good. And I think with songs like this, you know, when I come up with a line, when I come up with any certain lines, it really, really means a lot to me. I mean, I think my favorite one about this is like, you know, empathy's for losers. Tell them what they want to hear. If it's money, if it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's just because of everything that's going on, it's kind of like, it seems to me that we're in this situation where we'd rather put our faith, you know, as far as our literal, we'd rather put our trust in anything other than the thing that matters the most, which is in science, mm-hmm. and in what we know and the things that we should be doing, because we're in a situation where it really is money, economy over human lives, and it's the have and have nots. And I wish more, you know, we're seeing this in the, you know, COVID is about have and have nots, and we're seeing who it really affects. We're seeing everything that's going on. And the kind of people that we have running this country, as it was in so much of the world, of course, they don't want there to be equality, as far as they don't want people to have a better life or a better chance or a better standard of living, because then they won't have anybody to lord it over. And I mean, I think those things need to be said. And that's really why I write songs like this, for that reason. You know, I can't help myself. I'm Welsh. This is how I was brought up to be.
But it's great. And I don't want people to think all your songs are like this. I mean, your songs work on multiple levels, but they're not all, funny. You run the gamut. In fact, this is the new EP, The Here and Now. Now, did the album, Both Things Are True, was that released before the quarantine started?
Both Things Are True has not been released
yet.
That's coming later this year. What we're doing is I'm releasing singles from that every few weeks. And so I basically did, I like doing, the last album was called Rediscover, and it was my very strange reimaginings of songs from Deep Purple to Drake that I then make about my own life. Mm-hmm. And I find, because actually I'm a very serious songwriter, and as far as I like to be witty and have that bite, but the thing I think I do which is closest to my heart, of course, which is something that makes you want, is going to make you cry and really moves you. I mean, that's what to me, that's the greatest gift of music anyways, that can reach in so deeply and make
I
you feel
say that all
way.
The time that the one of the marks of a truly great song is its ability to create a visceral reaction, whether it's goosebumps or tears or physical manifestation. And it happens
right.
to me. I mean, it happened the first time I heard Karen, I got goosebumps. And that I know it when I feel it physically in listening to a song, and you do it all the time.
I also want
to talk about your collaboration with Leland Sklar, who is one of the all-time great bass players. Again, I first met Lee, God, probably almost 30 years ago. Wow, 1990, when I started working with Mark and Brian, because he was part of our house band every year for our Christmas show. And he's just one of the great bass players of all time. He did the show a few weeks ago with the immediate family, and you've been working with him. He does a thing on his Facebook Live where he plays along with songs and he tells stories about artists that he's worked with, and he's got a number of Judith Owen segments on there.
I feel so fortunate, because the weirdest thing for me, Nicole, is that growing up in London as I did, and my family coming from Wales and everything, and then being brought up in a very classical household. My father was an opera singer at Covent Garden. That's where I got the joy of the goosebumps, hair on the back of the neck from music that just made me so emotional. I loved how music gives you permission to feel the big feelings, and that's really where it's from. But at the same time, my dad was this unusual classical musician, as was my mother, who they loved jazz. It's a huge jazz collection, music from New Orleans, where I also, you know, I live, too. And it's incredible that, and then car trips listening to, oh, James Taylor. And so the things that went in very, very early, you know, and then Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, all these, you know, the people that have affected me so deeply. But I heard Leland when I was a kid, and I heard that playing, and I heard that sound of that band, and James, of course. But my entire life, I spent trying to find a bass player, or trying to get bass players to play like Leland, like Leland Sklar, without knowing it. I mean, I did this subconsciously just because I, because it turns out that James Taylor was such a good, he's such a great guitarist, but he's a very heavy left-hand player in that way. Then the pianist, you know, it's so easy to be a heavy left. It's my bass part, so I'm playing the bass part. Okay. But James he's playing the bass part as well on his guitar. And so Leland instinctively learned to move around that. And he became so adept because he's such a musical, you know.
Yeah.
He comes up with these extraordinary melodies. He really is the most remarkable bass player. He's not just doing root notes. He will if you need it to. You listen to him and any of the amazing work that he's done over the years. He'll do that if you need to. But Leland is a master of the most gorgeous melodic lines that move around. He is the greatest server of the song as a musician I've ever come across. He does not do it to go, look how great I am, and look at, oh, mm-hmm. look at my licks. I mean, he is serving the song, and if it doesn't need it, it doesn't need it, and when it does. And he has, the minute I met him in Seattle, and he was doing a show for Harry, actually, he heard me playing, and the two of us had one of those kind of doing, oing, oing, oing musical moments, you know, not to say anything else. We're both happily married, of course. But he is my road husband and Sherpa of bags. He says that himself. And we go shopping together a lot. So it was an instant thing. And from the moment that I sat down and played with him, and then I got to, okay, of course, and then got all the guys in the room. Ultimately, you got Russ Kunkel, got uh-huh. Woody Wachtel. It was just a magical moment of that, having that, you know, that sound that I'd heard as a kid. It meant so much. But Leland is the consistent in my life, because like with these songs, like the recordings, we're talking one takes. This is all this is.
Wow.
It goes in. These are usually the first or second take. It's one take through. We don't mess about with all that stupid stuff. And this is it. And what Lee is playing with me, and what we do together on acapellas, and what we do, we love doing these, even though, you know, I have this amazing percussionist, Pedro Segundo, too, who's remarkable. But the thing about Lee, like I said, is it's like a dance between the two of us. And it's crazier than all hell if I tell you then that the man that I met in New Orleans, who I ended up doing many of my records with, and I'm doing Both Things Are True with, John Fishback, engineered songs in the Key of Life.
Oh, wow.
For Stevie Wonder, nice. which is the album that got me through my childhood. Otherwise, I think I would probably have fallen off the edge of the earth. I'm not joking. He introduced Leland Sklar, his friend, to his best friend, James Taylor.
Wow.
Thank you very much. I rest my case. It's 6 degrees of almighty. And you know what I'm saying? It's just, and that's happened to me throughout my life. Things I heard as a child, you know, Jelly Roll Morton, things from New Orleans, the music that I grew up listening to that was that of people I ended up with, but back with these very different people that were in America, and I didn't know how I would get to them. I had no idea how I would ever be there, but that's where I wanted to be. That's where the music was that moved me. And that ultimately ended up, almost every one of those boxes got ticked. It's the most bizarre thing.
Wow.
It's the most bizarre thing.
Well, some things I think are meant to be. And I love that you're working with Lee, because he is also as nice as they come. He's just a genuinely good person. So I love that you guys work together. Judith, so you mentioned the album Both Things Are True, which you're releasing a single at a time. And the third single from the album is Hold My Hand. Tell us about this song.
Well, there's this huge hit in Britain and Europe. I don't know if it was here in America, but Jess Glynn is this massive pop star. And she had this dance hit, club hit, whatever you want to call it, but it was huge everywhere. And what I like to do with a song to make it, you know, it's like everything. It's, we all do it. You hear a song and it means something to you. It speaks about your life. It becomes a soundtrack to your life. And I do the same thing when I do covers. But I take them to an extreme level. Mm-hmm. I rearrange them. I recreate them. I reimagine them so that they are entirely about my life. And this song, I did this version at the end of last year, and it really is about how someone like me try to do everything so much of my life has been spent trying to always look strong and omnipotent and like I can do it all myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like the boss lady. We all laugh, of course, at this, everyone that really knows me and knows what a soppy thing I am inside. But ultimately, that's the armor that I wear. But the truth is, it takes a much braver person. It takes courage to say, I need help. Mm-hmm. I need other people. Mm-hmm. I can't do this by myself. I can't get through it alone. It's too hard and too lonely. And it took a long time, of course, for someone like me to actually be able to do that. And then, of course, cut to this year and this song coming out. My God, the meaning now has. So it's called Hold My Hand. It's a romantic song. But now it really is it's the metaphorical hand that we need to extend to each other to be able to get through this. And if we don't, we're lost. We really are lost as human beings. And so it took on just a greater meaning than ever, I think.
And it works. It does. It works for the moment and it works. And I wasn't familiar with the original. So this is the only version of Hold My Hand that I know of, the Judith Owen version from the forthcoming album. Both Things Are True. You're going to do that one for us?
I will do it, and I do encourage people to listen to the original, because you'll be incredibly surprised. You'll be surprised. That's all I can say, you know. I'm ready for this. Oh, there's no denying I'm ready for this. You stop me when I'm falling and I'm so ready for this. Oh, I need you all in, 'cause in my mind I'm running round a cold and empty space. Put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay. Darling, hold my hand. Won't you hold my hand? 'Cause I don't want to walk on my own anymore. Don't you understand? I don't want to walk alone. I'm so ready for this. You stop me when I'm falling down. I'm so ready for this. Oh, I need you all in, 'cause my soul is like a melting pot when you're not next to me. Put your arms around me, say you're never gonna leave. Darling, I'll hold my hand. Won't you hold my hand? 'Cause I don't want to walk on my own anymore. Don't you understand? I don't want to walk alone, so break my bones and you won't see me fall. The rising tide will rise against them all. Break my bones and you won't see me fall. hold my hand, 'cause I don't want to walk on my own anymore. Don't you understand?
That's just beautiful. That, and I got to go back now and listen to the original, because I just imagine, you know, I always say just what you said, that I love covers, but there has to be a reason for the cover. And when an artist makes the cover their own, then it adds something to it. If you're just going to do a note by note copy of the original, why bother?
I've never quite understood it. And it's different if you're an interpreter, or if, you know, you're just a singer. And I say just a singer, but, you know, it's not to be just a singer if you're a great singer. I get that. But I'm a writer. I'm an interpreter. I sing about what the truth, but what is my, you know, authentic truth.
Right.
And so I've been doing this since I was a kid. I've loved doing this. I think it's a great exercise. I tell young artists to do the same, if they want to find their own voice, find it in a great song. That's why the Great American Songbook is so remarkable. It comes back and back and back and back, because if you can find yourself and be that interpreter, and you can hear the person in it, then that's where you will find your sound and who you really are musically.
Wow, absolutely. Judith Owen is her name. JudithOwen.net is the website. There you can find everything there, including a link to hear all the songs on the new EP. The one she just played is from the forthcoming album, but the first two were from The Here and Now, which are available just newly out on Friday. And I'm so honored that you're, you know, debuting some of these songs here for us. Do you want to do one more before we leave?
I think I should. And after that one, it's hard to go. I'm not going to go down with something else, but I think it's probably good to do another song that's really much, pretty much of our time. So we have the choice of Those People or Fork in the Road. So your choice.
Let's
decide.
Let's do Fork in the Road. That's the lead off song.
I think it's uplifting, and that's what we need.
Awesome.
At the end of the day, you still need things that make you feel like, you know.
And it's what we're living right now. And it's so great that you're able to take this snapshot in time. This is just such a weird time in world history that we're living through. I did a
That's
thing
correct.
For a while. I was calling people in other countries. I called it quarantine calling. And I hooked up with people in Denmark, in Italy, in Germany, in New Zealand and Australia and Kazakhstan, and talked to them, because we were all experiencing the same thing at the same time.
Things.
And I don't know that's ever happened in history before.
I know. There's something very exciting. I mean, I'm going to start with these. You know, I found really a place that I feel very natural in. I like doing these shows because I really love talking to people, because I'm interacting with the audience as they're coming in and they're writing to me, and I'm interacting with them on my Facebook shows. I love that.
No, it's great.
And it's what will expand ultimately, because I don't think things are going to change for a long time for all of us touring musicians and performers. It will become an extended variety show where I have video, and you know I do all these ridiculous comedy characters as well that I'm bringing in, as you know, that these dreadful women that I do so love doing. And then I get to have other guests. I get to have people from around the world, from all my musical friends, you know, all over the planet that I want to have as part of this. And it really does, in a strange way, expand. We're all on lockdown, but I feel like I have expanded further than I ever have before. And I'm somebody that travels a lot, as you know, yes. and tours a lot. But right. I feel like it's like the reach is far because we are all in this together.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like finding your tribe, I guess. But so this song's Fork in the Road really was about when I was watching when I was watching the Black Lives Matter protests and the, you know, what happened George Floyd's murder and seeing everything and actually knowing how divided this country is, how racist this country is, but politely so, until, you know, then you find that somebody at the top makes it okay to behave, you know, say the things that a lot of people have been hiding for a lot of the time. And not saying because it wouldn't be seen as being okay, but now you can say it's a shame-free society. That's what I think it is. It's like we have somebody completely shame-free at the top, and now it's opened the sluices for everybody else to act the same way. And what I think I wanted to say in this song was that I'm surprised that it didn't come out earlier.
Hmm.
It took people to be pushed to the bloody edge.
Yep.
To, you know, these, because, you know, the police have been stopping people forever and a day. This has been going on forever. You know, this is, it looked like, from the outside in Britain, you know, we all think, oh, the civil rights happened and then people and there's equality. No. It's still a terrible situation, and our institutions need to be changed. But ultimately, it is about having... It is about the fork in the road. We literally are at the fork in the road on so many levels, politically, humanely, planetarily way, ecologically. We're at a fork in the road here, and we're at a crisis like we've never been before. And, you know, I did this show about the Black Death. I'm not joking. It was very, very funny as well as being very serious. Of course it was, and there was a lot to laugh. But there were so many comparisons. We never learn from history. But what the Black Death did, honestly, Nicole, is that it paved the way for the Renaissance and for a new period of thinking and for people to actually change the way that they thought. It's possible. Greatness can come out of truly terrible times. And I'm just saying that's we're at that point, and our choice is... continue down or actually take this to the next rightful place. And that's where we're at. So yeah. I hope it's the latter.
I hope so too.
Here goes.
Yeah, I do.
These are strange times. We don't know where we're going. Plays on the mind. All of this unknowing in all of our lives. It's all so terrifying. We're at the breaking point. It's true. Now is the time to change this world for better. We've crossed the line, and we've all been sent the letter. Just read the signs. But if we stand together, there's so much we can do. If we give a little love, give a little love each other, if we have a little faith, have a little faith for one another, stand by what is right, not the dollar. If we turn away from hate before it's too late.
I know, oh, I know. We're at a fork in the road. The streets of this town are filled with peace and anger to turn things around. We won't watch any longer and not make a sound. We need to right the wrongs here from the ground up. So if we just give a little love, give a little love to each other, if we have a little faith, have a little faith for one another, stand by what is right, what is right, and not the dollar, if we turn away from hate before it's too late and we lose everything this much. I know. Whoa. We're at a fork in the road. If we give a little love, give a little love to each other, if we have a little faith for one another, if we stand by what is right, not the dollar, if we turn away from hate before it's too late, and we lose everything this much, I know. At a fork in the road. Whoa, whoa. Fork in the road. Oh, oh, oh. At a fork in the road.
Just brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. Fork in the road. Judith Owen, thank you so much. What a treat this has been. And the songs are just magnificent. That should be played everywhere, you know, because it sums up where we are right now. It is just perfect. Just what we need. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad we got to get the uplifting one at the end, because really that's really the point of it all, is like, you know, I can get angry, I can get emotional, I can get upset, but ultimately the point of it all and the reason why we're doing all of it, I mean, all of us are getting together, all of us are talking, all of this want, you know, this is not the time to be quiet. Mm-mm. It is not a time. And I think music and I think the arts are more important than ever, because I was reading this amazing article talking about the Black Death. It said, who will be our today's Boccaccio? It's like, and that's what art is about. It's about releasing and moving and distracting and entertaining, but it is also about speaking for people. It's about speaking for us, and it's also about telling the tale of what was happening and what is going on in our world. So
that's very true.
I think it's important to do this now.
It really is. And I've said this many times. My listeners have heard it. I've struggled with depression my whole life, and after this last election, I fell into it deep. I had a bad, bad breakdown. And for 2 years, seriously, it was all I could do to get up and do this show each day. I don't know how I did. And to the listeners who stuck with me, I really appreciate it, because I was not having an easy time of it. And what pulled me out of it
was music. And that's why I started doing the Monday music thing, because I think it heals us. I think it's so necessary. And for someone like you, Judith Owen, who can take what we're going through right now and put it into words and melody so beautifully, I thank you so much.
Oh, Nicole, I say this every week that I play in, and I know exactly, we are very, very similar. Music saves you. It saved my life, but also knowing that you had to get up and do this show and do these things and connect with people, it is what brings us through. That's why it's so important. I know, you know, because we spend a lot of time as people with depression in silence, yep, hiding.
That's right.
And hiding our illness. And then that's when you realize how important it is to go the exact opposite direction and to be able to connect with people who understand and have that empathy and know what you're talking about. And that really is, it's everything. This is all about not being silent. So I'm so grateful every time I get to do the Facebook live shows. I'm always thanking the people that come on and support me because, I just feel very fortunate that I can do something that affects people the way that I was affected when I was a kid, and the way music always affects me. That's always what I've wanted to do. So it's important what you're doing, and it means a lot to the people that listen, and a lot to people that need that connection and need that little light.
Yes.
That we all look for.
Most definitely. And I'm so glad we've been able to do this after 25 years. It's just awesome.
It only took 25 years.
I'm
so glad that you're the first person that's actually getting to see me play these, you know, now before this comes out.
What a treat.
You know,
what a treat.
So
thank you so much. Judith Owen. Find her at judithowen.net. Go to her Facebook page and watch For Fuck's Sake on Wednesdays and Sundays at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. Judith, you're the best. Thank you so much. It's been a real treat for me.
Me too. This has been a joy, and thank you for inviting me on.
Thank you.